from the beginning, one of the things that we've always done as a church is we've always prayed a blessing over you as we've concluded our services. We think that's just a wonderful opportunity, something that's really important. Well, last year what we decided to do is we constructed an entire service around this important theme. And it was something that we decided, you know what, this is worth doing each and every year. As we head back to whatever you're back to is, back to school, back to work, back to fall, whatever you're back to is, we thought this is such a great time to pause and really remember what blessing is and to really send people off to their fall with a blessing. The blessing that we use most often here at our church is a blessing that you find right in the Bible. It comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And last year when we were crafting this service, we thought, you know what would be good? Let's dig into that text. Let's actually dig in, what does it say in context, and really look at that. And it was wonderful. In fact, many of the sources that I looked at as we were preparing that message, they said this blessing from the Old Testament, number six, they said this blessing is the equivalent of the Lord's Prayer in the Old Testament. So there's all this richness to this blessing. If you're not familiar with it, here it is. This is a blessing that we don't do every Sunday, but most Sundays. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. One of the things we love about this blessing is that it's more than just something that some person came up with. This is a blessing that was crafted by God himself, who said, now go and pray this blessing over people. And in just a few words, consider all the things that this blessing includes. And again, remembering that it's from God himself. He's the one that crafted this. It's a blessing of divine protection. It invokes divine safeguarding of the same God who heard the cries of his children, delivered them from slavery through those mighty works. It's that same God. How many of you, with a show of hands, could use some protection over yourself, over the people you care about, right? So that's what this blessing, plain protection. All right, another thing that this has, this little concise blessing, this blessing also includes a vivid metaphor of the Lord's face shining upon you. Is there anyone else here besides me who would love to receive that blessing of God's full attention focused in and shining upon you? Anyone else? All right, yep. These are rhetorical questions, aren't they? The blessing also includes an extension of grace. Anyone else here besides me make a lot of mistakes and need God's forgiveness and his grace and his kindness and forgiveness? And then the blessing also includes, in addition to all that, the extension of God's shalom peace, his complete peace. We don't use this blessing every week, but we use it regularly for all of these reasons. All right, last year, most of us were also introduced for the first time this song. There's a song that takes this blessing and puts it to music, and it's beautiful. And so last year we dug into this blessing. We also sang this song over one another. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. All right, here's what we're going to do today. Today we're going to be praying that blessing over all of you, and we're going to invite you to really receive it. We're going to be singing that song of blessing along with another one that speaks blessing over our communities and our loved ones and ourselves. And we're purposely doing all this at a time when summer's coming to an end. We're heading back to school, we're heading back to fall activities, we're heading back to all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of challenges. All right, so several months ago I started praying about this service. And blessing is like this diamond with all these facets. There's so many aspects to blessings. And so I was praying, Lord, okay, this year, what is the facet of the diamond that you'd really like us to focus in on? And as I was praying that, there was this verse, I couldn't remember where exactly it was found, but I remember this verse that was right around the time of Moses, and this verse that talked about, hey, after wandering in the wilderness, the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, after wandering in those 40 years, did you notice that your shoes didn't wear out? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Did you notice that? And I'm like, I want to dig into that. I want to dig into that passage. I'm going to find where it is. We're going to dig into it. And I was really, really excited to share because I mean, this is something I can testify to. So if you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. One of the best ways to experience God's blessings is to join Him in His work. So that was going to be my thesis. That was going to be our statement. One of the best ways to experience God's blessings is to join Him in His work. God had said, hey, I'm going to be taking you out of Egypt. You're going to be going here. They went there and God provided for them. Now, this isn't just an Old Testament principle, the one I just gave you here. We find it in the New Testament too, in passages like Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. That Sermon on the Mount is pretty remarkable, and there's a whole lot of tie-ins to Moses on this. After calling his disciples to leave everything behind and follow him, after positioning himself on a mountain in a way that sets Jesus up as the new Moses, Jesus said, don't be anxious about all the material things that everyone else is anxious about, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what did he say? All these things will be added to you as well. I can personally testify to that, that one of the best ways to experience God's tangible material blessings is to join him in his work. Why do I say that? Because when I was in high school, I started to sense a call into full-time ministry. And the primary reason, I'm going to be honest with you, the primary reason I said no to that and I pushed back was money. Because I had a rough idea of about what youth pastors were making, and I'm thinking, how do you raise a family on that, right? I'm thinking down the road here as a high schooler. But I was confronted with a decision, and it took me a couple years of really wrestling with this, where I had to come to that honest conclusion of to be a Christian is to be a follower of Christ. And for me, if God was saying, go into ministry, how can I say I'm a Christian and then not follow Jesus? So I took a leap of faith and I went all in. And my first year salary wasn't the $30,000 that I thought it was going to be. Some of you know my first starting salary, full-time out of college, $8,750. Full-time salary. I don't even think that's legal. And a fully furnished apartment above Kemsky's Office Supply in New Ulm, Minnesota. So there's the perk right there. Oh, man. Here's the thing. 40 years later, I look back on that season, and I can testify my sandals didn't wear out. God got me through college debt-free. My car didn't break down. I didn't think about this at the time. My car never broke down. I didn't have a washer or dryer. I never had to use a laundromat. God always provided. People said, hey, you want to come and do your laundry? Yes. I didn't have insurance. God provided doctors at a church that would patch me up when I get beat up and dinged up and get me back in the game. I could go on and on and on and on. Now, I want to really be crystal clear on this. What I'm not saying is if you go all in with Jesus, you're never going to have to worry. Things are never going to be hard. You never have to have these struggles, all that kind of stuff. The opposite is true. In fact, there was a pastor once, I heard him say this. He said, the birthmark of a believer is a bullseye. What he was talking about is we have a very real adversary. And in addition, if you're following Jesus, in addition to all the normal challenges there are out there in the world, you also now have an enemy who does want to take you out of the game and wants to discourage you and all these different types of things. So I'm not saying an authentic disciple is going to be on this path where it is straight to health and wealth in this life. Here's what I am saying. What I am saying is God is faithful to his promises. Can I get an amen? And I am saying, if he calls you to do something, if it is truly his vision, if you are truly walking his ways, he will get you what you need when you need it. And I'm seeing a whole lot of nods right here. And it would be really interesting if we had a small group, right, to be able to talk about this. Those times when you've been in those seasons where you look back and you're like, God provided what I needed when I needed it. There are so many people at Emmanuel who can testify to this. Seasons of our lives, we went all in, we took that step of faith, and God provided what we needed. So that thesis, I thought that was going to be the message. We could be done by now if I didn't go to the actual Bible and look at the context there. I still think this thesis I just gave you, it is true, but it's also too simplistic. There's more to it than that. So let's dig in. You can find this text about sandals in two different places. They're both in the book of Deuteronomy, and they both position that statement in the same rough context. So we're going to look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So here's a little context for this. When God delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt, he led them to a mountain, Mount Sinai. And then he initiated a covenant with them there. And he promised, he said, I'm going to lead you into the promised land as a people. Now, as that generation, they looked at all the challenges before them in that promised land and they're like, no, we can't do this. We can't do this. And so God said, okay, this generation, you're not going to go in. Your kids are. The next generation, they're going to be the ones to go in the promised land. And so they spent 40 years wandering in this wilderness. So what we're about to read right now takes place about 40 years after God had said, we got a promised land for you. They said, we can't do this. He said, okay, you won't, and your kids will. So Moses now is talking to the next generation. In Deuteronomy, he reminds this new generation of his power and his patience and his grace. And he tells this new generation, don't repeat the same mistakes that your parents did. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then Moses gives them all kinds of instructions about the ways of their God, ways that were really, really different, really, really different than all of the nations around them. So if you have your Bible with you, that's the context. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to start with verses 1 through 5. If you don't have a Bible at home, hit pause right now. You could go to Bible.com. They've got a great free app that you can download in multiple languages, including Spanish. All right, today I'm going to be reading from a translation called The Message. We haven't done this for a long time. Pastor Dan suggested to read this in the Message, and I think it was a great idea. He's got a really fun way of paraphrasing these. Okay, so we're going to start with verses 1 through 5. Keep and live out the entire commandment that I'm commanding you today, so that you'll live and prosper and enter and own the land that God promised your ancestors. Remember every road that God led you on for those 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limits, testing you so that he would know what you were made of, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He put you through hard times. He made you go hungry. And then he fed you with manna, something that neither you nor your parents knew anything about, so that you would learn that men and women, see if these words don't sound familiar, if men and women don't live by bread only, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. Did those words sound familiar to anybody? Who quoted those words? Jesus. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And where did Jesus quote those? He quoted those words in the wilderness, as he was being tested by our adversary. The adversary said, I will give you everything you want, everything you want. And here's the easy way to do that. And Jesus didn't choose that easy path. He said, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The way of God, it includes times of trial. It includes times of testing. And what's he doing? One of the many things he's doing, he's refining us like precious metal, gold or silver. So consider that. We're digging into this word here, and we're seeing that when you join God in his work, it's more than he's just going to keep your sandals from wearing out. The trials themselves are a form of blessing, because they're changing us. The trials themselves, when you follow God, are a form of blessing. All right, here we come to that verse that I told you about. Did you notice? Your clothes didn't wear out. Your feet didn't blister those 40 years. You have learned deep in your heart that God disciplines you in the same way that a father disciplines his child. That's the verse where I thought we'd land. And like, okay, here we go. It's in there. It's important. God provides if we're following him. But there's more to it than that. We're already seeing that here. Meeting our material needs, it's just one part of a bigger picture, a much bigger picture. God is using the trials themselves to shape us, to mold us, and strengthen us. It's one of the forms of blessing. All right, let's continue to read. We're going to jump ahead to verses 11 through 16. 11 to 16. Make sure that you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules, his regulations that I command you today. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, build pleasant houses to settle in. Remember, they were in the wilderness. See your herds and flocks flourish and more money come in. Watch your standard of living going up and up. Make sure that you don't become full of yourself and your things, that you forget God, your God. The God who delivered you from Egyptian slavery. The God who led you through the huge and fearsome wilderness, the desolate and arid badlands crawling with fiery snakes and scorpions. The God who gave you water gushing from hard rock. The God who gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never heard of, in order to give you a taste of the hard life, to test you so that you would be prepared to live well in the days ahead of you. It's all purposeful. It's all purposeful. Came a great Costa-Gate quote when I was studying these passages. The quote goes like this. I have thanked thee 1,000 times for my roses, but not once for my thorns. That is good. All right, let's go back to our text. Verses 17 through 20. If you start thinking to yourselves, I did this all by myself. I'm rich. It's all mine. Think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant that he promised your ancestors as it is today. If you forget God, your God, and start taking up with other gods, serving and worshiping them, I'm on record right now as giving you a firm warning. That will be the end of you. I mean it. Destruction. You'll go to your doom, the same as the nations God is destroying before you, doom, because you wouldn't obey the voice of God, your God. Thus saith the Lord. This is one of the countless reasons why God's material blessings are more likely to come in the form of daily bread than big mansions. Because it's so easy for us to get caught up in all these things and we forget who provided them. We forget what they're for. We think that it's us on our own that accomplished all of this. It is really, really, really easy to lose our way when we're focused on material things instead of the things that matter most. So easy to lose our way. And God cares enough to remind us. Not long after I felt prompted to focus on this passage for this message, I also felt prompted to, I didn't know that these two things were connected till now, but I also felt prompted to go read through what we call the minor prophets. If you want to have an interesting experience, read the minor prophets after reading what we just read. Here's just one example of what we find there. The minor prophets, they're filled with warning after warning after warning with people who are not learning from the mistakes of the past. And again, here's an example of this. Instead of these people then looking back, because this is, the prophets are saying, look back at your pattern of behavior here, your track record. When they look back, instead of saying, hey, my sandals didn't wear out, look at this, Amos 5:11. Therefore, though you've built stone mansions, you won't live in them. Though you've planted lush vineyards, you won't drink the wine. It's like the opposite. You're looking back and going, I had all this stuff, but where did it go? I had all these things, but where is the joy? Where's the meaning? Have you ever tried to grab cooking oil? It's like I'm grabbing cooking oil. It just, you can't hold on to it. It's just leaking out. Have you ever felt that? Is it possible that God's trying to get your attention? Is it possible? As you head into fall, I can personally testify to what we said earlier. One of the best ways to experience God's blessings is to join him in his work. And I think it's important to build on that. That's what we've been doing as we looked at in context. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down too. It builds on what we just said. God wants to bless you with more than material possessions and provision as you join him in his great commission. Does he want to provide for your needs? Absolutely. Seek first the kingdom. Does he want to do more than that? Absolutely. Absolutely. In this profession that God's called me to, I see behind the scenes in a whole lot of lives. And I can tell you, money does not buy the things that matter most. I can tell you that. If anything, it can distract you from them. In the pursuit of constant comfort, it makes you soft. Makes you like those characters in Wall-E, that movie Wall-E. That's not all it does. The pursuit of constant comfort, it can keep you from embracing the things that you need. The stuff that you really need to refine you and make you into the people that you really want to be. And to help us do the kinds of things that change the world. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch God show up and bless you in those material ways. That's fun, but God wants to bless you more with more than just material provision. He wants to bless you with a renewed heart. He wants to bless you with experiencing the fruit of his spirit. What a powerful imagery. The fruit growing within you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. He wants to bless you with rich relationships, strong friendships, great family bonds. He wants you to experience a life filled with purpose and meaning as you see lives around you transformed. And I wrote this in pencil here in my notes. This is the same kind of thing that you often don't see it when you're going through it, right? Just like your sandals not wearing out. When I was in New Ulm, I wasn't thinking about, oh, look, my car's not breaking down. It just wasn't breaking down. It's 40 years later, I look back and go, wait a minute, my cars don't break down all the time. What was going on there? Why not then? You know? It's the same kind of thing with these trials and testings, right? At the time, it's just like, God, what is going on here? Often you look back and you go, I really needed that. I really needed that. Often when you look back. Okay, so here's our invitation to you this Labor Day weekend. It's a two-parter. We invite you to experience the countless blessings of God, joining God in his work. Number one, as part of a Jesus-following missional church family. Do you want to see God doing stuff? Hang around us for a while. Get on the front lines. You're going to see stuff. Emmanuel is God's idea. Every year, we keep adding to the list of stories. If you've been to one of our membership classes, we now have like multiple pages of all these bullets. We don't have time to go through a fraction of them. Every year, there's new stories of things that it's like, really, God just did that. If you want to experience his blessings, get involved. Get involved with this Juntos team. You want to see his blessings? Watch it. We're already seeing these. This is a ministry that's on God's heart. I'm saying that with complete conviction. He wants to see this thing happen. More than one half of the population growth in our nation is Latino. And yet, name three thriving Spanish-speaking churches in our state. I hear Spanish every day. Name three. God wants to reach people. He wants to provide this opportunity for people to experience him. Do you think he doesn't want to do this? There's a huge need. God's called us to join him in his work. He's going to do stuff because it's his work. You want to see stuff, get involved. And you can start right with the example of the Bourbonos. The experts told us, many of you have heard me say this, the experts told us, this model that you guys are trying to do, this Juntos model, this is the model. This is what needs to happen. This is the model that really is the one that's going to ultimately bring about change. And by the way, you're not going to find a pastor because there aren't people out there doing this. That's what they told us. They did. And here we are, right? Here we are. God's blessing. He's blessing this work, I'm telling you. So if you want to experience God's blessings up close, you want to see how he does these things? Join that team. It's going to be hard. It's going to be messy. It's going to require a whole lot of sacrifice. And it's going to be worth it. Let me give you another example. Another example that I'm telling you, if you want to get on the front lines, you want to get on the front lines, get involved with the youth ministry. In particular, I mean, the whole thing, but in particular, the camps and retreats, what he's doing right now, he is moving chess pieces. I'm seeing Shonda going like this because we just went up on Sunday. We took this little advanced team up. There is this convergence of things we could not orchestrate. We could not have orchestrated that we had the whole camp. We couldn't have orchestrated that now there are four different churches that he's brought together to try to do this. We couldn't have orchestrated that that all is happening just as the brand new chapel is opening up. Let's go. I'm serious. I've got chills right now. You want to see what, you want to see God doing stuff? Get involved with this and just watch what happens. Watch what happens. Of course he had someone in place. Of course, Mike right now, while we're in here, they're one of our guys that came up with us, I didn't even know he had all these skills. He's building a scaled model of that chapel because we're going to be building this incredible set. Of course, he's got Hannah in place with a passion for worship. She's going to be helping us build up a worship team. Of course, he's got Shelly from Salem Covenant, who's just incredible at these games, who's got a passion for taking these things to the next level. We got Scott and his crew. He's going to be building that set. It's going to be amazing. We got Shonda, hospitality guru. It's legendary. We got an ER nurse who's retired, who's going to be our medic. I mean, this, I'm telling you, God's going to do something really, really special over the next several years. Really, really special. When I was at a mega church, we'd take 5 buses up to fall retreat. Get this. We're not that far. We'll have the equivalent of about 4 buses coming up this year.
Yeah, we will.
I'm serious.
Yeah, we will.
You want to experience God's blessings? There's a team you can get involved with. And these are just 2 examples. God's moving in our midst. We've just scratched the surface. He's got us at the Shoreview Community Center. We've just scratched the surface of what God could do there. He's got us in his studio. We just scratched the surface of what this thing is capable of. Same is true with small churches, kids ministry. The all-star team that he's putting together for this new moms group, crazy. ECC Kids, Discipleship Design Team. Last week, someone from the prayer team called me over. They said, Chris, we're seeing miracles, she said. We're seeing miracles. We're rebuilding a school in Juarez, Mexico. We're at the center of those pop-up compassion clinics that are bringing churches together. You want to see some cool stuff? Get involved. Get involved. That's part 1 of our invitation. Here's part 2. We invite you to experience the countless blessings of joining God's work, not just as part of our church family, but as a spirit-led, curiosity-inspiring ambassador of his kingdom. God has positioned every one of you where you are for reasons and opportunities. What could happen if you said, here I am. Here I am. And you started each day sincerely saying, God, help me to join you in your work. Not God, here, bless what I'm doing. That's a very different prayer. But God, help me to join you in your work. In my family, at my job, at my school. What could happen? I think one of the reasons, and there's a lot, but I think one of the reasons why so few people in the United States are experiencing a walk with God that they would say is dynamic or life-giving, or the way they would see, hey, I'm seeing God move. I think one of the reasons for that is that people aren't asking, God, I want to join you in your work. They're just asking God to bless their stuff. Often, I think it comes down to some version of this, all right? So I saw a t-shirt at the state fair last weekend. Can we put that up on the screen? The shirt says, well, what does it say? You tell me. What does that shirt say? Sorry, can't hockey. The number of people walking by pointing at that shirt. Sorry, can't hockey. People can relate to this. Now, your thing might not be hockey, but you probably have a thing. A thing that's keeping you to say, sorry, God, I can't. I can't because of my schedule. I can't, if I'm honest, because I'm afraid. I can't because I don't know where to start. What's your can't? And what is your can't keeping you from? Children of Israel said, no, we can't. We can't go into this promised land. And they missed it, you guys. They missed it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it because of a can't. God, what are you doing? Help me to join you in that work. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed as you do. You don't want to get years down the road, any more years. You don't want to get any more years down the road and have that mansion full of things, have that position, have those awards. I'm going to say this straight up. For your kids to have all those awards, and you get further down the road and you go, what did we do? What were we chasing after? Why do we prioritize that other thing? And it became a can't that kept me from what's most important. Our world needs more people who are willing to go back to their whatever their back tos are with this attitude that says, God, here I am. Help me to join you in your work. So I'm going to ask you right now to consider something. Wherever you are, if you're driving right now, I'm serious, find a place to pull over. What I want to invite you to do is just take your hands and just go like this. Which is kind of a position where imagine yourself, I'm here, I'm ready to catch whatever you're going to send my way, God. I would encourage you just to do that wherever you are. And you may want to just close your eyes, just block out distractions. This fall, God might have something very specific for you, a very specific challenge. And he wants to provide everything you'll need for that challenge. You may be heading back to school as a student or teacher, administrator. You might be sending someone off to school and you need that wisdom. And maybe it's for the first time, a kindergartner, middle schooler, high schooler, college. You might be heading back to a team as an athlete or as a coach, a supervisor or employee. You might be heading back to serve in a ministry with us, our kids, our teens, one of our other teams. You might be heading back to a space that's hostile to people who believe what you believe. You might be heading back to a unique challenge and opportunity of being single or engaged or married or widowed or separated or divorced. Whatever you're heading back to, hear the word of the Lord. You are his workmanship. You are created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. He didn't say some. You are. As somebody who's been handcrafted to do his work, now receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we invite you to join us. We are going to sing some songs now where we can be singing these over you and you can be singing them over others.